Father, as we come to your word, the living word, we pray and ask that you would be the one who preaches to our heart and mind. Lord, as your Holy Spirit broods on our heart, may we be receptive, may we respond to you in a way that honors and glorifies you. And we ask this for your name's sake and for our blessing. Amen. Right, as you can see, the title for the message for this evening is, it's obviously Doing Family God's Way. This is our third look at this passage. And now this evening, we are going to be looking at the kids. Or are we? All right. So Colossians chapter 3, let me read the verses for us again. Verses 18 through to 21. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. So when we read those verses, it might seem a bit extreme. Kids, obey your parents in everything. But as we unpack that, we're going to see, is that possible? Is it possible? Right, so as we have a look at our verses this evening, it's quite easy to view them through our modern eyes, through the lens of today's society. But for us to really get a feel of the impact of Paul's words here, of his instruction to fathers, to mothers, and as well as to children, we need to have at least some kind of understanding of Paul's day. And back then, society was intensely patriarchal, you know, meaning that men had extensive and ultimate power in the home and as well as the community. And so if you sang the song back in the day, "Mother Knows Best, Listen to Your Mumsy," you know, that song would have gone down like a lead balloon. It wouldn't have sat very well at all. Now, when you have a look back at the Roman household, the Roman family, it would have consisted as the usual, father, mother, and as well as children. But it also would have included any slaves that the father owned. And also one of the other fundamental differences is that his kids, whether they were young or whether they were fully grown, they would have always remained under his authority. And so as the father and as the oldest living male within the familia, he was considered the legal head. And he was also known as the paterfamilias. Paterfamilias. And he also possessed what they called patria potesta. And that means power of the father, meaning that he had complete authority over his grown children, both male and female, and whether they were married or not. And this was until his death. And him bearing this title, the paterfamilias, he had the power to tell his children to do anything that he wanted. And they were required to obey him. And he had the power over life and death, over all of those under him, except for his wife. The power of life and death. He had the right to decide whether a newborn would be allowed to live or not. And obviously it wasn't uncommon for an unwanted or even a deformed baby to be rejected and killed, either to be left outside or to be thrown off a cliff. In fact, he had the right to kill any of his children, no matter what their age. And although he had this legal right to do that, it was often frowned upon, you know, especially if you killed your kid once they were no longer an infant. Nice. So it's nice to kill your kid when it's not too old. Quite an amazing society of the day, huh? He also had the right to sell his children into slavery. He also owned all the family property. But the only thing that he couldn't claim was the wages of his son if he was in the military. Whatever his son earned while he was in the army, that was his. However, if his son ran a business, both the business and its profits all belonged to him. And now when the son was fully grown and he had his own family, they were allowed to be separated, live away from the father, but they lived off an allowance that this now patriarchal father provided for them. And so only when the paterfamilias, this father, died, did his children finally gain their own independence. And so then they took on that role then within their family. And so this is quite a setting that Paul writes into, isn't it? It gives us a far deeper appreciation for what he is saying and who he is saying it to. Quite profound, eh? And so our first point for this evening is the primary purpose in parenting. The primary purpose in parenting. And so as we see from the scriptures, as what we saw there in Psalm 127, our children are a beautiful gift from God. Each one of them is unique. They are with their own character. They have their own temperament. They are having their own gifting and their abilities and their talents and their personalities. You know, especially when you go and read Proverbs 22 in verse 6, it says there, raise your child up in the way that they should go, and when they are older, they will not depart from it. And so you as a parent, you need to know your child. You need to know their character, their temperament, their gifting, their abilities, what they are capable of doing and what they are not, so that when they are older, they will not depart from it. They are not you. Know them. Raise them up in the way that they should go. And so even though a child might look similar to mom or dad, the reality is that they are their own person. And from our verses for this evening, we now get to see what the Lord requires of our children. That verse 20, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. And we're going to unpack that as we go on. And so at first glance, it might seem that Paul hasn't, it might seem like he hasn't shaken off this Roman paterfamilias. In other words, you know, this father has absolute control over everything. But this is not his approach at all to what he is saying here. Instead, Paul is drawing back on God's original command, isn't he? On how to live within God's community, back to the Ten Commandments. I'm not going to read through all the Ten Commandments, but it starts off, God spoke all these words in Exodus 20:12. He says, I'm the Lord your God who brought you from the land of Egypt, from the house of slavery. And then when we jump to verse 12, he says, honor your father and your mother, that you may live a long time in the land that your Lord your Father, that your Lord your God is giving to you. And when he says honor them, in other words, give them the weight of authority that they deserve. You know, next to God, your parents are to be highly valued. They are to be highly cared for and as well as respected. And so as we are looking at what Paul is instructing here, it's nothing new that God is actually asking for. God wants children to listen to their parents. He wants them to obey them, to come under their loving authority and to give them the honor that is due to them. And look, I know that we live in a greatly imperfect world. You know, we've seen those videos of parents who actually will teach their kids how to go and steal from others. At restaurants, the parent will distract and the kid will come and they'll steal somebody's bag or purse and stuff like that. Obviously, the context that Paul is talking to, he's talking to within a Christian family, the church. And here their intention is that you want to instruct your kids in that which is good and honoring to the Lord, what is pleasing to the Lord. And so when you're instructing your kids in that way, and so you want your children then to be obedient to that good instruction. And so obviously here, once again, just like the wife when she submits to her husband in all that is pleasing to the Lord. And so here too, kids, when they come under the instruction of their parents, I think they also have that ability then to resist when their parents begin to ask them to do evil things. Right, but we're going to pack that as we go on. So, but now the reality of this command, So God is asking for kids to come under the authority of their parents. And as I said, the reality of this command is that children need to learn how to do this even before they can learn how to read this command for themselves. Make sense? They need to learn obedience before they can actually learn to read this command for themselves. So what's the implication? It's obvious, isn't it? And that is this, that this command is first of all intended for parents. It's intended for parents. A child's obedience, them being able to, and willing to listen and respond and to have a heart that has the right attitude, is built on the parents' love and commitment towards their children. We are the ones who first of all have to teach them how to be loving and obedient. And so this command can't wait until the child is old enough to read for themselves. This is the parent's responsibility. And as a child grows, so they will need to learn from their parents. In fact, they will automatically begin to learn and mimic their parents. How you speak, they will learn to speak. I once remember visiting somebody. Don't worry, it's nobody in the congregation or part of our church. We visited And the kid came out of the garage and some profanity came out of the mouth. And it's kind of like, and the parent was standing and it's kind of like, I wonder where the child got that from. But it's from the parent themselves. So they'll begin to learn. How you speak, they will speak. What you do, they will learn to do. How you behave, so they will also begin to behave. They will become mini yous. And so the other night, we were busy watching a couple of short YouTube clips. And one of them was a mother duck who, and she had her ducklings, but she had also adopted a little chick. And they, as they all went into the pond, to them, this little chick followed after. This little chicken, and you thought it would sink, but it actually swam then with all the other ducklings. Now, I don't know if it's actually going to be able to do that when it actually grew up, but it was actually amazing to see that. That little chick adopted the characteristics of its mother and followed after. Now, as parents, when we have kids, our kids will automatically begin to learn and to mimic and absorb all the kinds of information and behaviors that we will either intentionally or unintentionally be parting on to them. They are constantly learning. And so isn't it then quite a stark reminder to us as parents that we are constantly in the process of shaping and having an effect on our kids. How they behave, how they speak, how they treat others, and what they believe about life and their surroundings. This will continue for as long as they are in our home. And so these verses are, first of all, speaking to the parents. And as they hear Paul's instruction, as the Colossian parents hear Paul's instruction, what goes through their mind should be something like this. And this should also be going through our mind. Okay, you know, I'm hearing that the Lord wants me to teach my children how to be obedient. But I guess that it first starts with me. That I need to hear how God wants me to live in relationship with him, that he is both my Savior and my Lord, and that I need to be obedient towards him, and I need to respond in a way that honors and glorifies him, and that I show through my behavior and attitude of heart that I love the Lord and want to listen to him and be obedient towards him. I must live God's way. This is God's world. He has saved me, and I must be obedient towards him. And part of my obedience towards God is also to teach my own children how to be obedient. To respond to instruction is a good thing. Not only for them, but also for me too, as a parent. The discipline of obedience is for all of us. And so this is honoring and glorifying to God, because this is what pleases God. And so, parents, God wants us to cultivate obedience in the lives of our kids. This is a good thing. It pleases the Lord, and it's good for our kids. And one of the things that we need to believe is this, that not only does God require that we teach our kids obedience, but it's also very possible. It's doable. With the help of the Lord, we can teach our kids to be obedient. And so there are many voices out there that will promote different ways of bringing up your kids. We've probably heard many times, you know, corporal punishment is so bad. You need to spare the rod. You don't want to scar or abuse your kid. Isn't that the whole reason why they took corporal punishment out of school? And the whole reason being, because I think a lot of times there actually was genuine abuse. You know, things were taken way out of hand. And obviously here, what Paul is talking about and what the proverb is talking about is not talking about abuse. It's talking about love. Proverbs 13:27 says, "Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent." Diligent to discipline him. In disciplining your children, you are teaching them that there are consequences to actions. And so the writer of Proverbs is saying that when we fail to discipline our kids, when we fail to teach them obedience, we are in fact holding back our love from them. You know, even the author of Hebrews, he says in chapter 12 and verse 5, "And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons?" And he says, "My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, Nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastises every son whom he receives. We show love towards our kids by disciplining them, showing them how to be obedient, what obedience actually looks like, with a heart that goes along with it. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom the father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as it seemed best to them. And our parents don't get things right all the time. They don't. But you see, he, God, disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So discipline is not a bad thing. Yes, abuse is. As I said, this is not what Paul is talking about here. Paul is calling for loving correction so that our kids can learn what is right and wrong. And when I say right and wrong, it's what's right and wrong in God's eyes. He's the one that determines that, because on that basis, we have the understanding what sin is, what offends him, and what does not. So our kids need to learn what's right and wrong, and that there are ways, that there's always consequences to our actions, you know, especially when we do choose to disobey. As Paul says in Galatians chapter 6, I think it's around verse 7, he says, God will not be mocked. He'll not be mocked. And so even us as parents, you know, when we are disobedient towards the Lord, do we think that we'll get away with our actions? No. The passage just told us in Hebrews that because God loves us, and even when we are disobedient, what is God the Father going to do to us? He's going to lovingly discipline us and bring us back into the paths of righteousness. It's just for us as parents, when we see our children who are disobedient and going astray, what are we lovingly going to do? We're going to correct them and draw them back to the paths of righteousness. Now, some parents choose to try and negotiate or reason with their children, with their toddlers. Can you even try and reason with a toddler? I don't think you can. You can't negotiate. You know, it's like, if you do this, then I'll do this for you. If you already start to do that, man, then your kid's got you around the finger. And you're going to go down. You know, or you might even try emotion to manipulate the kids, you know. You know, if you don't eat your carrots, you're going to break mommy's heart. You know, there's all weird and different types of methods that parents will come up to try and get their kids to respond to them. As I said, negotiate or try and manipulate or try and reason with them. Yeah, you know, maybe when your child is older, then you can begin to reason with them. Because then there is a level of understanding. But while our kids are young, we are called to love and as well as to discipline them. Teach them to obey. Teach them to listen and to respond. Parents, we need to show our children that they, or parents need to show their children that they are actually the ones who are in charge. But I guess a lot of time now today when we see a lot of kids running around and the way that they instruct their parents, it actually begins to show you who's actually in charge. But this is not the way that it's meant to be. Parents have been given the God-ordained responsibility to provide a home where they lovingly lead and also where obedience is practiced and as well as celebrated. This is what our homes need to be. And you see, kids can be very clever. Their little hearts are born sinful and selfish, and they're very quick to learn how to manipulate and to get their own way. They are little monsters. Sorry, I mean that they are little masters at throwing tantrums. But it's the parents' responsibility to lovingly, patiently, and graciously, yet firmly, put an end to such behavior. Because that little kid, when they're doing that, imagine what they're going to grow up to be. Absolute rebels, but incredibly selfish. Because then all of life just revolves around them and what they want. And this is why the parents has the huge responsibility of saying, no, life is not all about you. And this is why it's also very important that we are teaching our kids about who the Lord is. And life's about him. So the parent needs to put an end to such behavior when those tantrums come. And also the child needs to learn that when they behave like that, it brings about only one type of response. And that is a swift and immediate show of authority and love. And you can show the authority and love in various ways. You can't spank your kids. They're not going to die. They're not going to fall apart. You can spank your kids. And I think that they need to learn is that there is a painful consequence sometimes for their disobedience. What does it ultimately point towards? If we are constantly disobedient towards God, what is the ultimate response? Complete separation from him. Eternal judgment. And also, kids will learn from their parents. They will actually learn from their parents' response when they need to respond. They will learn how many times they can push their parents' request. And I use that word intentionally. Sometimes when parents ask their kids to do something, it's not a request. It should be part of an instruction, a command. But often it comes across as a request. And as I said, the kid will learn how many times they can push the parent before they know that they now need to respond. And that's because they learn your response time. They're all like little bank robbers. You know, they know just how many minutes they've got until the cops arrive. They know they know how long they can push that button for, and then all of a sudden they get up and they begin to do stuff. You know, they also learn your tone. They can learn your facial expressions. They can even pick up your mood from the color of your eyes. And so when we leave room for repeated requests, when we have to tell our kids 4 to 5 times to do something, we fail. We fail them. We fail to give them the love that they deserve. And we also fail God by not being the obedient and loving parent that he has called us to be. And so we want our kids to listen. We want them to respond. And the reality is that they are not going to get it right every time and in everything. They are not. Because we can ask ourselves the question, do we ourselves get it right every time? How many times has God instructed you through his word? In everything. And have you obeyed? So do we ourselves get it right every time? And the answer to that question is that we don't. But God is gracious. He is patient with us. And those with little faith, he is willing to walk alongside, and he's willing to take a lifetime to nurture us. So the question is it possible for our kids to be obedient in everything all the time? And I believe not. Because none of us are capable of perfection on this side of heaven. And I don't believe that Paul is calling for perfection in our kids either. But what I do believe, and as Scripture teaches us, is that Christ is our perfection. He is our righteousness. And he is the only one who has achieved perfect obedience in everything and at every time on our behalf. But please understand, it doesn't give room for us as parents to continue to be disobedient. And it also doesn't give our kids the right to continue to be disobedient as well. There's always a measured and a reasonable and a loving response. We want to bring them to a point where they do lovingly want to respond to us. Why? Because they know who we are and that we love them. But most importantly, they know who God is and they want to honor and they want to respect him. So what Paul's asking for here is that parents give their kids ongoing affection. Give them ongoing attention. And give them ongoing loving authority. Teach your kids in all things, in everything, in all the circumstances of life, what real obedience looks like. Obedience starts with you. Begin to model it for your kids. Show them what obedience looks like in all the circumstances of life. When somebody's hurt you, how does the Lord want you to respond? Be obedient. Show your kids how to respond to people who have hurt you. Look at everything and teach your kids how to be obedient in such. Lead by example. You see, we won't get things right all the time, but we can show them what obedience looks like in the various circumstances of life. And I believe that sometimes as parents, we might end up provoking our kids. You see, if we set expectations that are impossible to reach, we ask them for a standard that we ourselves also cannot achieve. And we might end up causing them to feel that they can never measure up. Also, we might give them the impression that, you know, the Lord actually only loves you when you are good and when you are obedient. And the thing is that we might end up developing our kids and they might end up being very obedient, but they've got hard hearts. They've got no love for you and they've got no love for the Lord. The key here is not bringing about obedience for the sake of obedience. It's actually teaching them how to be in relationship with God and coming under his reign, as we sung about. All right, so it's not about absolute obedience. And it's not about perfectionism. And it's not about being morally or ethically righteous. You see, we have to guard against creating little legalistic moral kids. And as I said, they might end up being obedient, but that heart might be far from God and far from you. But what pleases the Lord is that once we are saved, that we then have a desire to follow him. And that we strive in all things to do things that please him. And so we want to submit to his rule and his authority because he deserves it. And we also want our kids to know and experience this too. What a blessing it is to come under the rule and reign of the Lord and to show obedience towards him and then to reap the reward of that. And so we need to talk regularly about who our God is and how he wants us to live in fellowship with him, how he would have us obey him with joy in everything that we do. And so we must spend time in God's word as a family. And you can even do this in planned time, or you just be spontaneous and you use the situations throughout the day. And as parents, God wants us to be wise. You know, are we wanting our kids to be obedient because this pleases God, or am I wanting my kids to be obedient because it pleases me and it's for my convenience and that I'm not the one who's been embarrassed when I go out to town and my kid's having a tantrum? If we love our children, we'll pursue them. We'll see our responsibility to discipline them, which is always good for them. You see, it might be painful also to do it, but it'll reap a reward, won't it? And the reality is that parental discipline will always be necessary for as long as they are in our homes. You know, I constantly think about this. My kids in my home still. And I think about my obedience towards the Lord and how that impacts them. But I do want them to be obedient towards me. It's the one that I keep asking not to have a cell phone in her room. And that's what I've really been challenged about going through this. And so I've got to let my word be my word. And I've got to honor the Lord in that. So I'm coming for you. But we must always remember this too. You know, good and constant and loving discipline is not the thing that will ultimately change our kids' hearts. It's a tool that, yes, that the Lord uses. But they need to know that their hope is not placed in their own spotless record, because that's going to be impossible. Instead, it is placed in the spotless record of our Lord Jesus. One of the prime reasons why we want to teach our kids to be obedient, to come under our loving and leading and authority, is because we want them to ultimately to come under the love and leading and the authority of God, our Father. If they're not going to be willing to come under us, are they going to be willing to come under our Heavenly Father? It also just shows the kind of character of a parent that we need to be. And this is why our parenting needs to model the loving affection and discipline of our Heavenly Father. We as parents, we've been given the responsibility to represent the character and the nature of God. And it reminds me of how God used Moses to lead the people out of Israel, that while we read that passage. You see, there, Moses was meant to go out and speak to the rock. Remember that God, that the people gathered to confront Moses and Aaron. In reality, they are confronting God. Indirectly, they're speaking to God. Why have you brought us to this evil place? Why have you brought us out here to die? In God's response to Moses, you go outside there and you speak to the rock. Speak. Moses goes out, and in anger, he strikes that rock twice. How was he portraying God? He was portraying God as angry and that he had lost it. God had told Moses, go out and speak to it. Show them my compassion. Show them my character. It makes us think about our own roles as parents. How we often fail in presenting the true character of who our God is. But how gracious is he, hey? How gracious. Again, it makes us ask the question, is it possible to bring up kids who listen, love, and obey? You're not because we are abusive towards them, or because we demand stuff out of them and we have this fearing domineerance over them. But the answer to the question is yes, by God's grace, we can raise up children who are loving and obedient. And even though we fail so often, God is gracious and he's so full of mercy that he's still able to use our parenting, the good and as well as the bad, to raise our kids and to teach them what loving and willful obedience looks like. And so teaching our kids to obey is an instruction that has been ordained by God. We need to show them what is right from wrong. To show them that there's consequences when they do bad things. That sometimes there is punishment. But also when they get things right, yes, there's blessing. There's affirmation. But we're also always showing both grace and mercy. You know, how else will our kids ever learn that there are consequences to their actions if we actually never teach them or hold them accountable for it? Also, how will they ever learn to come under the loving authority and the discipline of the Lord if we never teach them to come under the loving authority and discipline that we give them? So to the best of our ability and by God's grace, we don't want to raise rebels who resist, but we want to raise up kids who will one day delight in coming to Christ and conforming to his image. That's our goal. And that leads us into our second and final point, which is very brief. And so, parenting that pleases the Lord. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. And as I was going through this, I realized I actually have no direct instruction to the kids. But it's for everybody, isn't it? Both parent and child. And so this is a reminder again as to why we discipline our kids, why we are desperate for them to learn obedience. And it's not that they will please us. You know, their listening to us is not for our convenience. We are not the ultimate goal or the ultimate receiver of their obedience. We discipline our kids and we teach them obedience because it is pleasing to the Lord. And in disciplining them, we are teaching them, even through our own lives, what is pleasing to the Lord. And we are also showing them how to live in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. So our ultimate goal in our parenting is to lead our kids to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ so that they can know him, love him, and fear him, and come under his rule and authority. You see, how does Scripture identify us before we were saved? Romans 11:30, just as you were formerly disobedient to God, but now you've received mercy. 1 Timothy 1:9, understanding this, that the law is not laid down for the just, but for the lawless and the disobedient, for the ungodly and the sinners, the unholy and the profane, for those who strike their fathers and their mothers. 2 Timothy 3:2, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful. Scripture describes us all as at one stage being disobedient. And so we need to build and bring up our kids, build them up under the lordship of our Lord Jesus. Early on in their little lives, they need to be told and taught that there is a loving God who rules over all. He said it all starts with him, it'll all end with him, and so now already we need to be living for the Lord Jesus. Jesus deserves our all because he gave his all. Is it too late to parent our kids? I don't think it ever is. If we made mistakes, we can always go and apologize and beg for their forgiveness. But we always have that opportunity to feed into their lives, to teach them the ways of the Lord. And when they have their kids, us as grandparents, we'll have the opportunity to feed into their lives. So we ourselves are showing our kids what real obedience looks like. But with that said, we are also showing them what asking for forgiveness looks like. So as parents, we are not anarchists. We're not rebels, we're not disobedient, we're not hypocrites, but people who show that we ourselves are under the loving rule of our God. We are showing that Christ is Lord, that he deserves our love, he deserves our allegiance, he deserves our obedience, because he himself is the epitome of obedience. Philippians 2, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So just as Jesus was obedient to his heavenly Father, so we are called to be obedient to our heavenly Father. And so we are also leading our kids and pleading with them that they would put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, which is our ultimate and necessary obedience towards Christ. And that's where we end for this evening. I must say it was very challenging for me to put the passage together. And when I look at seeking obedience for my kids in their own lives, the great reality is, how obedient am I towards my Heavenly Father? And that's why I love the fact that we are saved by grace. Saved by grace. He's so merciful towards us. But as I grow in my sanctification, I'm learning more and more to be lovingly obedient towards my Heavenly Father. So I pray for you, parents. I wouldn't say good luck. We've got the Lord who abides with us, helps us to be obedient, and he helps us teach our kids to be obedient. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for our time together this evening. We thank you for the truth of your word. And Lord, we are just so grateful for the fact that even though we are saved, even though you are our Heavenly Father and you have loved us way beyond what we deserve, we still do not get things right. In all honesty, we are more disobedient than we are obedient. But your mercy and grace is new every morning. But Lord, our prayer and our desire is that we would be far less disobedient and far more obedient, simply because we love you. We appreciate you, and Lord, we know how much we are loved by you. Help us, we pray. Amen.